Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone. Happy Wednesday. We're at the halfway point of the week, and it is not slowing down. I started today thinking there wasn't a ton of sound out there. And then Joe Biden gave a speech. And right before the show, he decided to give us a clap you stupid bastards moment. Now, Jared, fill people in. What was this speech? Where was he speaking? And who was he speaking to? All the big questions.
Joe Biden was speaking at the Coast Guard Academy, what I assume is their graduation ceremony. He was ushering in the next generation of Coast Guard, and he's actually still speaking. Yes, it is the commencement address at the Coast Guard Academy.
Now, there are a lot of different groups that I feel are probably taking this Biden presidency particularly hard. Conservative radio is definitely one of them, but you know, our business is going to keep going either way. I think of like Keystone Pipeline workers. They must be particularly bummed out by this. And then, of course, there's people in the armed forces, people who are protecting us, because it really does make a huge difference for those men and women when they have a leader in charge who they can trust, who is a strong leader, you know, who leads with real determination and forcefulness and isn't, you know, a bumbling fool. That's the nicest way I can put it. But Joe had to make this remark. We're going to listen to it. And I know exactly why he does this. This is the second time. But first, let's hear the newest cut of Joe Biden offending a huge group of people.
I can only assume that you will enjoy educating your family about how the Coast Guard is, quote, the hard nucleus around the Navy forms in times of war. You're a really dull class. I mean, come on, man. Is the sun getting to you?
I don't understand what's so funny about the original joke, but maybe it's like inside humor or something.
I also don't believe that was a quote, because I don't think he got the quote right.
But this is not the first time that the same exact situation has happened, and Joe doesn't like to learn from anything, so it makes sense that he would have the same response. But let's do a little flashback to another speech where he did not get the reaction he feels he deserves.
I have incredibly good judgment. One, I married Jill. And two, I appointed Johnson to the Academy. I just want you to know that. Just clap for that, you stupid bastard.
You know, dull is a little bit nicer. It's a step up from stupid bastards. But I just have to say, it's very obvious why he is so thin-skinned and why he needs so much support. And I blame, you know, 99% of the time during any situation, I like to blame the mainstream media because they are the worst. They are the enemy of the people. This is the mainstream media's doing. They have made this guy think that he is Louis C.K. That might be a bad example. Who's a funny?
That's kind of on point.
Who's a funny comedian? Dave Chappelle. They make this guy think he is the funniest person they've ever seen. They laugh so hard, and not just things that aren't funny, but things that you can't even hear right. He'll say something that is totally inaudible and doesn't make any sense, and they'll crack up. And then you wonder why he's so spoiled. He has the live studio audience of Jimmy Kimmel's dreams following him around at every single point. All they have to do is say, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream? And he says, I got a chocolate and vanilla. And everyone goes, oh my God, this guy, he is so folksy. He cracks me up. He threatens to run over people with his car. And they all, ooh, he's at it again. with the jokes, you jokey jokester. So is it any surprise that when normal people are listening to him, who, you know, aren't completely in the bag for the Democrats, and they're kind of watching, and there's nothing funny happening, so they don't laugh? Does it make sense that he snaps at them? You're a dull crowd. Maybe you're just not that funny, Joe. Huh? And there's something very valuable with being told certain things aren't funny, you know? Like, you know, when I was growing up, everyone wanted to talk at the kitchen table. I have three siblings. And if you told a joke and it didn't land, you had to kind of sit with that, you know? No one was giving you pity laughs at the curly family table. You know, that was your opportunity. We move on to the next story. Somebody else gets the floor. But Joe is surrounded by these fawning, drooling press people. And they're so pathetic. And then he gets out there and sees what real people are like and realizes he's not that funny after all. You know, this isn't the Truman Show. We're not all here to watch you and marvel at you. And they were all probably waiting for it to be over. They were all probably thinking about, where am I going to go to lunch after this? How am I going to celebrate this day? When is this guy going to stop talking? And I want to talk about the mainstream media because, first of all, I want to play the cut from yesterday. This happened right after we went off the air, which you guys can tell that aggravates me. I like to get these things hot off the presses. Joe Biden was at the Ford plant. And once again, another audience that either was drunk or was paid to just laugh it up at this guy. I have to guess, this is all allegedly. This is my own assumptions. But the level of laughter for things that he was saying was concerning. It was maniacal. It sounded like a laugh track, like Full House or something. And then to top it off, when they really got silly, was when someone was asking him about Israel, which if you're tuning into CNN and MSNBC every day, they've only had a few minutes worth of coverage on that. It's kind of a big story, but, you know, they have other things to worry about, like January 6th and Liz Cheney and Kevin McCarthy and whether or not Joe Scarborough is going to wear his mask on airplanes for the rest of his life. But it's a pretty big deal. And one reporter, I believe she's an ABC reporter, actually asked Joe Biden his thoughts as the leader of the free world on Israel. But Joe was in a big, fast car that goes vroom, vroom. And he wasn't here to take your questions. Listen to what he had to say.
Okay, I'm just going to step on it. I'll come off at 80 miles an hour. You'll see what it is, okay? Ready?
Mr. President, can I ask you a quick question on Israel before you drive away?
No, you can't. Not unless you get in front of the car as I step on it. I'm only teasing. Okay, here we go. You ready?
See it, sir.
Ready?
Driver ever. I heard a verbatim of Holy Esther.
Oh, Tommy learned to ride a bike today. They literally treat him like a 5-year-old. Oh, wonderful. Yay, he pressed on the gas. We're so proud of you. Yes, we are. We are so proud of you. We're going to let you get an ice cream today, Joe. Oh my gosh, it makes you sick. And then what cracks me up is I start reading stories about how the press, the same press, you know, that takes out their pom-poms every time the guy doesn't, you know, fall down or fall up the stairs. Every time he survives another windy day, they take out their pom-poms. Then I read that they're frustrated. They're frustrated, according to the Washington Examiner, because the Biden team has this process of editing quotes. And this is something I never knew this, but I guess it's quote approval and you can use it at certain times. The Trump administration used it, according to this piece, very sparingly. The Biden administration uses it constantly. At least 5 White House reporters recently expressed concerns in a media report over the Biden team's habit of allowing officials to sit for background with quote approval interviews where journalists must agree to allow the administration to review and edit transcribed conversations before getting cleared to publish approved quotes. This is from the most transparent organization in history. And when the press complains about this, you guys know my take. I said this way before he even became president. I will never, ever, ever feel bad for them. Ever. I hope that Biden continues to treat them like garbage because they pushed him over the finish line. And this is what they deserve. They deserve to be ignored. They deserve to have all of their interviews vetted by Jen Psaki and edited by Simone Sanders. That is 1,000% what they deserve. And there's a song that I think summarizes exactly what happened to the press. And it's good advice for people. It's why you don't fall in love with the person that you're supposed to be covering. You can't fall in love. You know, this guy's just, he's a heartbreaker. He's going to call you dull or he's going to call you a stupid bastard. You're going to say, hey, Joe, what'd you talk to Vladimir Putin about? I'm sorry, Putin.
About a fracturing.
And he's going to say, we talked about you. And you're going to have to sit there and laugh.
President Putin.
Yeah. You're going to have to yuck it up. And you're going to have to watch this guy test drive an electric car and act like it is the greatest thing you've ever seen. Congrats, guys. This is what you've created. Enjoy. When we get back, we'll play some more sound from this speech, which sounded
fantastic.
We love your dogs.
Okay, I'm just going to step on it. I'll come off at 80 miles an hour.
Gosh, it's really, really, really pathetic. And the first real, obviously we've been seeing this happen over and over again, but I remember when Peter Alexander first asked him the question about why you came out with the mask on if you're announcing you don't have to wear masks. And Joe said, so you can, you know, everything's boom boom. Like he likes to deliver the line, so you can watch me walk back in without it on. And Peter Alexander, if you pause the video, is looking at him. You got to find yourself someone in life who looks at you the way Peter Alexander looked at Joe Biden in that moment. He was so proud of him. He was like, you just killed that answer. You are the best. You are the greatest. It's enough to make you sick. All right, guys. But, you know, I've had my fair share of free lunches during my time at the Howie Carr Radio Network. And, you know, everyone here enjoys free lunches. They're always delicious. We love everyone who comes in and brings us grub. But no one beats Aviva Trattoria. They cater a free lunch every other Friday here at the studio. And every single Friday, we are blown away. And there's always something new. Like we do have a few set things that we love to get, including the calamari, the farmhouse pizza. All the pizzas are really good. I actually tried the margarita last time. The sandwiches, the homemade chips. But then, Jared, sometimes they throw in something new and we fall in love with a new dish.
Yeah, the Italian sandwich was awesome. The eggplant mayonnaise was a nice surprise.
Love
all their,
that.
All their risottos are good. You know, Joe would say, quote, that Aviva Trattoria is the nucleus around which the Grace Curley Show is rally built.
And if you're not laughing at that in your car, you're a dull crowd. Yuck
Come
it
on,
up.
Man.
Come on.
Not a joke.
Yeah, no, they have delicious everything. Whether, you know, you have a picky eater in your house, they're going to find something to love at Aviva Trattoria. They have four locations, Marlboro, Maynard, Wrentham, and Westford. But this is a big update. Their new location in Malden opens in June, so keep your eyes out for that. Now, I get a lot of questions from people who say, what do I do? How do I sign up? How do I win this? All you have to do is go to gracecurlyshow.com. There's a big banner. You can't miss it. And it's probably going to be a drop-down little ad, and you click on it, and you enter your email, and you're entered to win. We have people in here every other week, and they have so much fun. I'm a ham. I love attention, but Aviva steals the show. People end up leaving here and going, yeah, Grace, you're all right, but I'm getting myself to Aviva.
Myself included.
GraceCurlyShow.com. That's GraceCurlyShow.com to get yourself an Aviva VIP in-studio experience. We will be back on the other side. I want to open this up. I just want to talk about this level of groveling from the press. And I have a really interesting story. It's actually from The Atlantic, and it's kind of dissecting Kamala Harris and how she doesn't take any questions from anyone and how she's exposing herself to be a really weak politician. And we'll talk a little bit about that too. 844-500-4242. Call in now. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
What do you get when you fall in love? A guy with a pin to thirst your love.
You have to make sure that women have the chance to succeed and thrive throughout their careers.
Never fall in love again.
Don't fall in love with me. That's what Joe Biden should have warned those reporters from jump, but he didn't. And they fell hard. And they're figuring out that it's tough. It's tough when the guy that promised you the world, he promised you the most transparent administration ever. Well, it turns out he was lying. And there's nothing they can do about it. They can't turn on him now. I mean, what's their alternative? They just have to enjoy this next 3 years of complete insanity. But this is the story that first got me thinking about this, because I was surprised. I was surprised to see this piece in The Atlantic. What Kamala Harris has learned about being vice president, it's not very flattering. And any time a piece, whether it's the New York Times or The Atlantic, when they write an unflattering piece about these politicians, you realize it has to be so much worse than what they're writing. Because they barely want to write anything besides Kamala Harris crochets, Joe Biden took his dog for a walk, and the dog didn't bite anyone. So when they do write about stuff like this, you know that what they're actually hiding is so much worse. But before I get to that, today's poll question is brought to you by Covfefe Coffee, making coffee great again. From the MAGA Dark Roast to their Drain the Swamp Medium Roast, Covfefe Coffee has it all. To order today, go to doyoucovfefe.com. It's spelled Covfefe. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which of these going off the air would make you the happiest?
Who?
Brian Stelter, Jimmy Kimmel,
yeah,
the NBA, or the Oscars?
Now, it has to be that they're canceled. That's what I'm envisioning with this hypothetical. And the two I'm between are Stelter and Kimmel. I almost threw Colbert in there, but I didn't want it to become like a late night focus thing. I'm going to say Stelter, but I might switch it later.
Stelter is in the lead with 42%.
There's no time for potato heads.
Oh, whoa, Stelter. We have time right now. Just give us a second.
Stelter in the lead with 42. Jimmy Kimmel polling at 25. 21 say the NBA. 13% for the Oscars.
Yeah, I mean, it is, all of these things are trees in the forest. If no one's there, do they really make a sound? But the Stelter would make me happy, just because, I mean, and it's kind of written in the stars right now. He took a week off to go on vacation and the ratings went up when he was gone. And then when he came back, they dipped again. So, and they weren't great either way, but that still doesn't bode well. And speaking of this, Fox News late night show Gutfeld, it nears the top of the ratings race. It topped traditional, that's code for terrible, late night broadcast shows, Jimmy Kimmel Live and The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon in the ratings. Gutfeld averaged 1.6 million viewers for the week ending May 14th, beating Kimmel and Fallon, though it trailed CBS's Late Show with Stephen Colbert, which really does amaze me that people watch that. All I can think about when I think of Colbert is him wearing all black and crying because Trump wouldn't concede the election. I don't remember him wearing all black when Hillary, has she conceded yet? No, she still hasn't. So he should be still in mourning about Hillary Clinton not conceding the election. When we get back, I'll take your calls, 844-500-4242, and we're going to go over some of this insanity from the press and why they're disappointed in the Biden-Harris administration. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
There's a saying we use in a different context, a Chinese saying. It says, women hold up half the world. It's an absolutely stupid position not to make sure they represent at least half of what we do.
Remind me again what this is. This is a celebratory day? Are they... Tell me again, Jared, what is this,
This is the Coast Guard commencement, and he was talking about how, I believe you said, a third of the graduating class of this Coast Guard was women. So you do what any president who doesn't have an issue with China does, is you use a Chinese quote.
I'm so, yes, that's a great point. It's not exactly...
As we say in China, wait, what? Not a joke.
Did he let them know if China's eating our lunch today? Yes or no? It changes based off the day. I'm so confused why he's bringing this angry attitude towards a commencement speech. Remember when Trump would give those and he'd, you know, woo! And yeah, he'd roast people. He'd roast the Democrats. But it was a little bit more, it was a little bit more uplifting than this. This seems a bit down in the dumps.
Yeah, but at least he didn't use two hands. At least Biden didn't use two hands to drink water today.
Or try to walk too slowly down a ramp so he doesn't fall.
Yeah, I haven't seen the ramp yet, but he was pretty confused on stage when all the white uniforms were trying to tell him where to go. And he's wearing his aviators, naturally, because it's outside.
And because he's such a cool dude. He's like the Fonz. Yeah, this whole thing is bizarre. And I just want to say that we gave Jeb Bush a lot of crap back in the day for his please clap moment because it was very it was very on brand for
please
Jeb
clap.
Bush. It was very on brand. It was sad. It was meek. It was pathetic. It was dull. It was low energy. But at least he said please. Like, at least he was polite about, you know, how bad he was bombing the speech or wherever he was, the auditorium, like 10 people in it.
Just clap for that, you stupid bastards.
How about please, sir? Please clap for that, you stupid bastards. Good Lord. And what is it with Dems and insulting people in the service? Like, is that something that, did they all get the memo on that many, many moons ago? Remember when John Kerry was running for president? This is a, actually, hold on, wait a sec here. Do we have the flashback of John Kerry? All right, let's play it.
I think that some of it will end up in the hands of, the IRGC or of other entities, some of which are labeled terrorist.
No, that's not it.
That's not it. It's when he basically told them that if you don't work hard or if you don't study hard, you'll end up in the army, something like that. We'll play that cut. But there is definitely a little bit of snobbiness, it would appear. I don't appreciate people calling me. I wouldn't appreciate being called a stupid bastard. But maybe I'm old school. But it brings us to a different point about the Democrats, which is they, especially the Biden administration, they have completely given this media the bum's rush. They have no interest anymore. You know, they're in, they're going to do what they want, and they don't care about the left-wing rags. And that makes me very happy. In fact, there's a new report out that Vice President Kamala Harris keeps an enemies list of reporters that she doesn't think really get her. They don't understand what she's all about. And that led me to reading a piece from The Atlantic, which I thought was pretty amazing. It's titled, What Kamala Harris Has Learned About Being Vice President. And I'm going to skip around here, but these are the key points I think you guys would want to know. It's talking about Air Force Two, and it says she doesn't work the plane the way Joe Biden or even Mike Pence did. The vice president flew on Air Force Two to Los Angeles for Easter weekend, then to Oakland, her hometown, for events the following Monday. She carries the mantle of this big job in a way that seems very natural, the California lieutenant governor said. To arrive with so much pomp and circumstance, but then to go to a water treatment plant and then a small business. The juxtaposition underscores the work at the center of her start in the job. I guess. That's one way to look at it. Critics of Harris see her vice presidency so far as a collection of unconnected set pieces. Harris arrives somewhere with the plane and the motorcade and the Secret Service agents, makes a few mostly bland statements, then tells whomever she's meeting with about how she's going to bring their stories back to Washington. Then she's quickly out of sight again. She marvels aloud to aides about how the president is the same in private as he is in public, a fact that is striking to her because she is still getting to know him and because her public and private personas are different. She is much looser and talks more about herself and her experiences when the cameras are off. Everyone expects Harris to run for president again one day. Oh, but her job. But her job requires her to avoid even the appearance of preparing for her political future. And then it talks about some of her aides in the White House. They have mixed feelings about Harris's vice presidency, but even those who want her to seize a more public profile acknowledge the difficult spot she's in. And, you know, it talks about how she's made history. And I love this because even when they're writing pieces, I would say on the whole, this piece from The Atlantic is not very flattering, but they have to try to convince you that what you see on a daily basis is not the reality. And what we see when Kamala Harris is asked a question, like, are you going to the border? Not only does she not answer it appropriately, but she just laughs. She gets like a nervous cackle and she just cracks herself up. So she is a real lightweight as far as politicians go. I actually noticed this when we had, you know, 12 or 13 Democrats running for the nomination. I thought she was going to be a front runner. And then there was a few separate incidences where I thought, oh, that is not the Jussie Smollett thing. You know, she tweeted out something in support of Jussie Smollett before we figured out it was a huge hoax. And someone asked her about it. And she just basically like blamed her staff or her aide or pretended she had no idea what they were talking about. She walked out with Al Sharpton and just pretended she couldn't hear the reporter's questions. Just kind of amateur stuff. But they want to convince us that, like Biden, you know, she has a thirst for the details. She asked not to be handed just one portfolio, but by aiming to be involved in everything, she's having a hard time making her mark on anything, especially because she's careful not to create the impression that Biden needs help being sensitive to issues of inclusion and equity. But he rolled. So it talks about how her campaign fell apart. And she generally will ask very good. Now, I think this is Anita Dunn. And so every time you get a quote from someone, the only time it will be they're just, you know, heaping praise onto these people. We're supposed to really think that Kamala Harris is, you know, she's getting to the root causes of many issues, not just immigration, but other problems as well. She generally will ask very good, very pointed questions in meetings with staff. And she will follow up on his questions. She'll say, I think what the president really wants to find out is X. She does have a bit of that, you know, she'll say, I can sense a weakness in an argument and I'm going to push that weakness to make sure that when the president goes out with that argument, it's been really fleshed out and thought through. Does anyone buy this? Does anyone think all I've seen of her thus far is kissing her husband through a mask, wearing Converses, she jogs off the plane because she's petrified of getting asked a question, and posting Instagrams where she's looking out the window and then, you know, putting something on there like, we're just getting going, or we're here to help, or watch out, world, I'm Kamala. I'm Mamala, and I'm here to save the day. This doesn't compute with what I'm seeing. And in fact, they say a few weeks ago in Chicago, she made awkward small talk with a window washer at a vaccination site. She asked what the tallest building he'd ever worked on was. Trump Tower down by the river, he told her. She asked him how he'd gotten up to the top. Do you go up to go down, or do you go down to go up? She asked. So even with small talk, it's, you know, and you can... With a lot of these politicians and stuff, you can say what you want about them. Like, I'm obviously not a big fan of Bill Clinton and stuff, but they did have a level of charisma where they could, even George Bush, you know, they could make small talk with regular people. I don't get that sense at all with Kamala Harris. At all. The vice president and her team tend to dismiss reporters. Trying to get her to take a few questions after events is treated as an act of impish aggression. And Harris herself tracks political players and reporters who she thinks don't fully understand her or appreciate her life experience. She particularly doesn't like the word cautious, and aides look out for synonyms too. Careful, guarded, and hesitant don't go over well. I don't think she's careful. I think she's incompetent. But she continues to retreat behind talking points and platitudes in public and declines many interview requests and opportunities to speak for herself. This is coming from The Atlantic. Some have been surprised at how much work there is to be done, whether that's briefing her on certain policy issues or helping her improve her sparring with journalist skills. And now this is a really weird part of it that I want you guys to know, because it does give you insight into how this administration works. It's all about identity politics. When she's interviewing prospective hires, some of what normal people would ask is like, what's your job experience? You know, do you work well with others? This is what she asks. When they sit down for a meeting, she tells them, take a moment and look for who isn't at the table, who isn't represented. Imagine you're visiting the home of someone whose wedding you attended. You page through the album out on the coffee table. Does their vision of their celebration include you? That's what policy is like, she tells them. All sorts of Americans are watching the administration's actions, trying to see if they're included in its vision.
None of that makes any sense.
Like, if I'm getting interviewed and someone asks me that, I'm like, wait, can you tell me about the healthcare policy here again? You guys have a really nice plan, right?
Mija, you're worth it.
Well, so how long is my lunch break? What's your policy on Columbus Day? I'm sorry, not Columbus Day, whatever it's called now. Do we get that off? What's overtime like? And she's like, now picture this is a wedding album. And then you hear stuff like this and it makes sense why everything is falling apart. She's worried about her enemies list of reporters who don't understand her instead of, I don't know, visiting the border. It's been 56 days and counting. Just things to think about. When we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about the press, and I have other stories here to get to, including Dr. Fauci. He's got more news, and I said it once, but I'll say it again. I don't know why people keep printing these headlines, but if they're going to keep printing them, I will keep reading them. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Warmer temps are creeping up, and you're going to want to open those doors and windows, but when you do, you know what's going to happen. Jared knows what's going to happen.
All right. Picture yourself sitting at a table.
This is a wedding album.
A wedding album. And you look around and you don't see an Eden Pure Thunderstorm.
Oh, no.
Leave immediately.
Yes.
But no, seriously, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, which Grace just held up, it's small. You plug it into the wall, you turn it on, and it gets to work right away. It's great, especially pollen has been brutal this year. But the thunderstorm, it takes care of that. It gets rid of allergens like pollen. It gets rid of any pollutants in the air, any viruses, odors, things like that, that just, it actually creates super oxygen by ionizing the air around you. So you're breathing clean air. And even in this difficult pollen season, with the windows open, with the thunderstorm on, you are breathing a lot easier.
Absolutely. It is a great product, and everyone definitely needs to get their hands on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm, especially right now, because they are running an awesome, awesome deal. The deal is, if you just use code word Grace, you'll save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put in code word Grace at checkout. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, and just enter code word Grace. 844-500-4242. I'm going to check back in the green room and see if Biden said anything else, if he yelled at anyone, if he threw out any names. He has evolved, you know. He's telling them to clap or laugh, or he's, you know, telling them that they're dull, but he's not calling them stupid bastards, which in my opinion is improvement. We're all about baby steps here at the Grace Curley Show. We will be back with your calls, 844-500-4242. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the whiskey priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler in For the Boys. Got to keep the troops entertained.
Mayor Pissarro, I want to thank you for being here.
Yeah, we have a lot of these cuts to go through. Just a heads up, that piece I was reading from The Atlantic, it's really interesting because you know that's the best they can come up with about Kamala Harris, and it's not good. It's, I'm not going to say it's a hit piece because they work in some details about how, you know, she weed whacks through political talk to get to the root of the issue. You know, they have to throw in a couple things to get approval to print this stuff. But it is telling that this is the best they can come up with. And if you want to read that, we're going to start implementing this new thing daily. It's about to be posted. It's called Howie's Homework. And Howie actually just mentioned to me, he said that story is part of it today. So if you want to look at it, share it, you'll have it. I don't know if the press, by pumping up Biden, it's interesting to see if it's working anymore. I think people had such a thirst to hate Trump in the lead up to the election that they enjoyed hearing about all this Biden stuff. But based off recent polls, I think it's a... Yeah, it's a Trafalgar poll. I always did I mess that up?
Trafalgar.
Embattled Biden's approval rating dips below 50%, which is a big deal considering how much people, you know, are trying to lift him up. What's the Chinese proverb?
There's a saying we use in a different context. The Chinese saying, it says, "Women hold up half the world."
The press holds up all of Joe Biden. They are the only ones who are helping along this charade. And obviously, it's not that helpful because no one's watching anymore. No one's subscribing. Everything is, all their ratings are plummeting. And it doesn't matter how many times someone tells you that he is sharp as a tack and is like the next Socrates and walks around the West Wing asking all sorts of questions. You see what he is every time he opens his mouth. And in fact, I have 16 cuts, in case you don't believe me, that we're going to go through. Yeah, that we're gonna go through in the next segment, in the next part of the show. The guy is a walking gaffe machine. He's old. He is completely intimidated by the squad. I don't know if you saw the pictures yesterday, but he stopped to talk to, outside on the tarmac with a mask on, he stopped to talk to Rashida Tlaib, who is...
Don't you mean Rashid Tlaib?
He called her Rashid, the masculine version of her name, three times yesterday at the Ford plant. But he stopped to talk to her. He is the Trojan horse for all of these far-left radical policies. And even then, with all that he's done for the squad, they're not happy. He'll say that Israel has a right to defend herself. Do you think Rashida Tlaib likes to hear that? I'm sure she gave him a mouthful yesterday when he got off that plane. She looked angry. How dare you? How dare you defend Israel or support Israel? I wouldn't want to be part of that conversation. Biden looks scared. He was getting yelled at. He is...
Because he doesn't know what Israel is. He's like, oh boy, what's that?
Oh boy, I was not prepped for this. But I thought Rahim Kassam put it really well. He said, day 107, which is, I know what you guys are thinking. 107 feels like the millionth day of this presidency. It is moving at a snail's pace. And yet so much destruction in so little time. He said, on jobs, it's not bad news and it's not my fault, Biden says. And that's the frustrating part of it, is that they want to tell you that everything, you know, the pipeline hacking, the jobs report, gas lines, everything. Nothing is bad. You know, we can't address the reality. Nothing's a crisis. Everything's fine. And then at the same time, it's not our fault. We're not to blame. It's like, well, if it's not bad, then what do you mean it's not your fault? What are we even talking about? When we get back, like I said, I have 16 incredible Biden bumbles that you do not want to miss. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Mayor Pissarro,